Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. Well, since tomorrow is Father's Day, I want to take the liberty of rerunning a program that aired back in March of 2015. I interviewed my mom, Ruth Ann Fain, about my dad, Howard Fain. He was an artist, and we'll talk about his life. And in honor of him and Father's Day, we'll have that program rerun for you right after this word from one of our fine sponsors here at Jess FM.
It's just an ordinary day, then the doorbell makes it extraordinary with a delivery from Nicholasville Florist and Gifts. I'm Bobby.
And I'm Kelly. All our flowers, plants, and gifts are delivered on time and as beautiful as we'd want for ourselves.
Our flowers are fresh daily and arranged when you order. You can call or visit our website.
But please come in. You can see our selection of silks and decorations
and gifts for the person who has everything at 206 South Main Street, Nicholasville, Martha's Vineyard, Nicholasville, Florist and Gifts.
Since 1951, we've been making ordinary days
extraordinary.
Well, as I told you in the opening, this is a rerun of a program we broadcast back in March of 2015. It's all about my dad. And since tomorrow's Father's Day, I hope you'll give me the opportunity to share with you a discussion between myself and my mom, Ruth Ann Fain, about my father, Howard Fain. Today on All Things Jessamine, we are going to talk to someone who knows a little bit about a fella whose art is on display this month at the Creative Art League down in Nicholasville. For the whole month of March, there is a display that features artwork and photography. And the artwork is done by a fella who lived all his life here in Jessamine County and was an artist who drew in his life over 1,100 different pictures of all kinds of things. And his name is Howard Fain. Now, he died in 2007, but they are doing this art display this month, and we thought this would be a good time to talk about Howard Fain. Today on the program, we're going to interview his wife, Ruth Fain, and I'm just going to give you some history about him and what he did throughout his career and his life for those especially that may be tuning in that are new to our county and don't know who he is. And every once in a while, you may hear me not refer to her as Ruth Ann, but as Mom, because she is my mother and he was my dad. So when you hear that, you'll kind of know the connection there too. Just talk about how he started. You can just tell us about when he was born and his parents and that kind of thing.
Well, he was born August the 1st, 1934, to Beulah and Clifford Fain, who lived in Jessamine County most of their lives. He started the first grade at Lyons School and went through Lyons School, the 1 through 8th grade in a one-room schoolhouse. His teacher was Miss Molly Stratton.
And the show that we've got going on this month features the artwork of a fellow named Marion Stratton, and that was his mother.
That's right.
Molly Stratton was
his
mom. And that's why they're doing the show together, is because of that connection.
Well, Miss Stratton was just a super lady, and she encouraged Howard a lot on his artwork and let him draw in school. And so that's how he got started in his artwork. Mm-hmm. Although I believe that anybody's born with it, but my husband always said that anybody could draw, but I don't believe him because all I can draw is a stick figure.
Well, and all I can draw is a paycheck, so it's not even hereditary to a point, although a couple of my kids seem to have a little bit of the talent, but it surely skipped by me. So he grew up liking to draw, and he grew up in the country. He was a farmer's child, and they didn't have a lot. They just raised crops in the Union Mill area. In fact, where we still live, Mom and I, it's the same farm where he grew up. So he went on through high school. He graduated Nicholasville High School, and then decided to go to college. Now, start at that point, and let's take it on from there.
Okay, he went to UK. He started in art, studying art, and of course his family was big farmers, and they thought he should be into the farming part of it, and so he changed and his major and went into agriculture. He had to quit before he finished college because of his dad's health.
Wasn't because he didn't like agriculture. I knew that. He wanted to be artist, but that wasn't the reason he got out.
No. The reason he got out was his father's health, and they needed him on the farm.
Now, this was before you married?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So they needed him on the farm. He quit UK. He came back to the farm. Mm-hmm. What year would that have been?
Probably 1954, approximately.
Yeah. How did you two hook up?
Well, we knew each other in school. He was a year older than I was, and it's kind of a funny story, but he called me after he had graduated and was in college. He called me and asked me if I would like to go see the Lawrence Welk show with him. And so I told him yes, and we went to the Lawrence Welk show. After the fact, I found out that the reason he asked me was that his girlfriend that he had been dating refused to go with him. So he was trying to get a payback. So anyway, we didn't date anymore until after I was out of high school. And
so he took you to the show.
Despite her.
Despite her, but I guess eventually he felt so bad about it that he called and asked you out again.
Well, that was a couple of 3 years later because I was working at Central Baptist Hospital.
Well, what brought that up? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea other than he was on his way from school, from college. I was waiting on the corner for the bus, mm-hmm. Phillips Bus Line, and he stopped and asked me if I wanted to ride, and I rode home with him, and then after that, we started.
And that was it. So I came along in 62, Cecil, my brother, came along in 65, but as far as Art was concerned, we'll stay on that road for a minute. He had gone back to the farm, but I know he kind of started getting into some jobs that concerned Art, so let's talk about that.
After we married, he went to work for an architect company, and he worked there for a while, and he worked for Mr. John Canoy for a while, in drawing engineering mm-hmm. things.
So technical drawings at that time was what he was doing.
Right. He wanted to go back to school and get his degree, and he went to UK and talked to some of the people up there, and they told him that he could come back, but they didn't have anybody that could test him enough to know where to put him in college.
So he was ahead of the curve. He was that far ahead of the curve mm-hmm. that UK basically said
they didn't have anybody.
We can't. Well, in essence, they basically said there's nothing we can do for you.
Right.
You're above it.
So that took care of that. So he decided that he would go to a correspondence school. So he went through a correspondence school, and he did great in that, and he has his diploma from that school.
Of course, when you really look at it and what he may have learned, I'm not going to say he didn't learn anything correspondence, but when you get right down to it, it's what you said earlier. The man was born with a talent.
Yes.
And he may have learned a few things that developed some stuff mm-hmm. that he didn't know, but I've always felt that even if he hadn't have gone to correspondence school, he would have done just as well as he did.
I think so. The only thing I remember him saying this, that UK Art was fine, but it did not get you job ready. His correspondence school got mm-hmm. him job ready. So he was glad that he went that route after the fact.
So the technical drawings came with the engineering, but then eventually he got into a business here in town, which a lot of people don't realize was his connection, a lot of the newer people, and that was Faulkner and Fain, which sits up on Maple Street and is still in business. For those that don't know, Faulkner and Fain designs and builds interiors for places like banks and stores and things like that. And I remember growing up when he was there, when we were little, you know, he would design. I know one of his big clients with doll hairs.
Right.
And basically what he would do is he would take a shell and he would draw the design of the store fixtures. We're talking about the things the clothes hang on and they all those displays.
Counters.
And then the company would build those things and go and put them in the store, correct?
That's right.
Now, when was he there?
I think he was there about 13 years. Mm-hmm. And he would go out to jobs. They delivered jobs everywhere, Ohio, whatever. And when he would a lot of times go with the men to take the things, put them in, and he'd help put it in, other than when they had union, mm-hmm. he was not allowed to even pick up a screwdriver. Mm-hmm. But he was there to show them what to do.
Now, when he went into Faulkner and Fain, it was, of course, called Faulkner and Fisher at that time.
Right.
He bought out Dick Fisher.
Right.
He was in the reserves at that point, wasn't
right.
he? And I remember stories that you all have told about when you were in Arkansas, about they found out that he knew how to draw,
mm-hmm.
and what was it that he had to do?
Well, they had these rocks out in front of these barracks, and each barrack had a something that was their...
Like their company name?
Well, the company name, but they always had a picture of something on mm-hmm. there. You know, that was...
Kind of a logo.
A logo. And so he ended up drawing rocks most of the time when he was in Arkansas.
So he was drawing on rocks.
That's right. Sometimes he would letter trucks and so right. forth. And most of the time he was drawing rocks.
Well, he decided to get out of the reserves, and by that time I had been born. At what point did he think, you know, I really want to do this as a job. I want art to be my living, and I want to get out of the business world as far as drawing plans, and I want to, because he was drawing house plans too, right?
Well, that's what I was going to say. When he was working at Faulkner Fain, at nights, he would draw house plans.
For Henry Thompson?
A lot for Henry Thompson. Mm-hmm. Any of the builders that wanted him to draw the house plans.
And I know right now, a lot of the area, speaking of Thompson, a lot of the area of Nottoway, Old Edgewood, if mm-hmm. you will, a lot Greenwood. Of those houses, Greenwood Drive, all in that area, he drew plans for a lot of those homes.
Yes,
in
he
there.
Did.
So he did that while he was at Faulkner mm-hmm. Fain. But at some point in time, he had to say to himself, I want to do this. I want to draw pictures and sell them to the public.
He decided that this is what he wanted to do, but he came to me first and asked me what I thought about it. He wanted to draw pictures to put on the market, and I said, I will back you 100%. The only thing I ask, I don't want somebody saying, okay, I need this and I need this by a certain date. I don't want you to be pushed on these things. Mm-hmm. And so we did it on our own. We financed the printing and so forth of the first two that he did, and they were black and white cars. Mm-hmm. Then we sold those, took that money, and we just went from there.
Now, did he have out here on the back of the house that you live in, mm-hmm. is that when he built his little studio?
Yes.
And did at that time, is that when he started framing pictures too? Or was
he
that later?
Framed a few, not many, but yeah. he framed a few. And then that's when we decided if he was going to do that, we needed to find a place in town where it was more convenient for people.
But he was out here for quite a while. I can remember as a young boy, yeah. his studio being here and him framing pictures right. out here in this back studio. Right. But as you said, he decided he needed to go to town.
Right.
Now, the first place he went to was where?
Edgewood Drive, the building that backs up to the Edgewood Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. We rented a little place there. It had two rooms, but they were small, one back to back. And we soon outgrew that. So the place that was next to us, Henry Thompson said, well, I'll just knock a hole in the wall if you want that. So we did. We rented from him. And then after we left there, or had been there for a while, Howard had always loved old houses. Mm-hmm. And he had always hoped to have his gallery in an old house. So I think he contacted this lady that was in real estate and just said, you know, if you see anything. And she came in one day and she was so excited. And she said, I found just the house for you. And it's the one on 302 West Maple Street, the big Victorian house.
Now, for those that may be newer to our community, if you go up West Maple by the courthouse and you pass Nixville Christian Church, on the next corner is the Sheriff's Department. And right behind that is a little brick house where an attorney, Mark Miller, now is located. Mm-hmm. And the house that we're talking about is the very next one, the great big huge old house. It's across the street from the parking lot of the Nixville Methodist
right.
Church. So that's the house we're talking
yes.
about. And he decided to buy this house.
Well, he wanted to buy it, mm-hmm. but he wanted me to look at it first. So I went down, and there were two ladies that lived there, elderly ladies, and they were the one. One of the ladies that was there is the one that owned it. And when I went in, I was absolutely stunned because all I could see was work.
Well, and to explain that, I remember this. The mm-hmm. house, first off, was white. It was flat.
It was whitewashed.
Whitewashed on the outside.
Paint,
and it was a scary-looking house.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were scared of that house because
yes.
it looked haunted. And I remember, even then, telling him, because I was a teenager, You're crazy. Because when you walked into it, as you said, it was dark.
Oh, yes.
It was dusty. The windows were closed up. You couldn't see anything. In fact, those two ladies lived, what, in the back two rooms?
They lived in the back two rooms. And I felt so sorry for those ladies because they were so sweet to show us everything they could. One was in a wheelchair. But anyway, they opened a closet door, and there was one can of pork and beans sitting on the shelf. And I thought, these people are, you know, they're destitute. They don't have anything to eat. And I really felt so sorry for them.
But
we went ahead and bought the house. And the day they moved, the attorney came to close, do the closing. And he told my husband, he said, this just makes me sick. And he said, to think that they've been living like this and they're each one millionaires. And I thought, here I had felt so sorry for those poor ladies.
Well, they were nice ladies,
they
and
were
it was
very
a good
nice.
Deal. But as you remember, and I remember, how the condition of that house, and I've often told people, Dad being the artist, I think, could see beyond the dirt.
Right. He could see the potential.
Right.
I couldn't.
And I couldn't either. And I remember thinking, oh, my goodness. And it was amazing the things that was found, if you will, in this home. For instance, he could see that, I don't know how many fireplaces there were, but there was a bunch.
One in each room.
And all of them, with the exception of one, were cherry. He could see that. He could see beyond the dirt that the chandeliers were sterling silver and brass. Even on the outside, he could see that if you took that whitewash off, what this place would look like with its stained glass windows. Now, this house, ladies and gentlemen, was built back in the 1800s by a fellow named Dr. Wagner.
1880.
He was a physician, and that's where he had his examining room. He lived there, but he also examined people there.
He had the intention of making that a small hospital, but it never did go into that. But he did have his office there, and he lived there.
And even today, I suppose there's a room that you could go in where you could see the glass front cabinets where he kept his medicines and his tools, and that it was a really nice place.
There was a little sink there that they said when he delivered babies, that's where he washed them.
So y'all bought the house, you fixed it up. First floor, I remember, was open in 30 days after, 26 gallons of fantastic and who knows how much elbow grease. And eventually renovated some more of the house and was there and had a big framing operation, framed pictures and sold prints. Then at some point, it got to be too much, I guess.
Well, the upkeep of a house like that, it had a slate roof on it. And I know one time Howard and Cecil got up on it. We had a leak and they got up on it and scared me to death because it was just really a dangerous thing. In fact, we couldn't find but one person that would even get up on it to put a new roof on it. And it was going to cost us a fortune to put a new roof on. And so we were getting, older and decided that we just did not need that. So we sold the house and we went out in back in Edgewood. We went behind where Shug Stratton had his store at the time.
Cashway.
And we rented, but he was building onto the back of it, but he hadn't finished it. And that was in 1990. And we had to give possession of the gallery down there. So we loaded all the picture, everything up into a U-Haul it truck and parked it behind Cashway, which was fenced in and so forth. We knew it would be okay. And we took off and went out west.
Yeah, I remember that trip.
So we went, and then when we came back, he had finished the building, and then we moved into that.
You stayed there for a while, and eventually Dad got to the point to where I guess he decided enough's enough.
1997.
97, 10 years before he died.
Right.
It's time to retire somewhat, and now I say that, the framing. He still continued to draw, though.
He did, but his eyes were beginning to bother him, and even though, he had glasses, but so that's the real reason that he quit drawing, was his eyes.
I won't throw the story in about his drawing. Of course, Dad had asked me one time, for some reason, I don't know why, if I cared, if he gave up doing commissioned artwork, which wasn't my decision at all, but he asked me. And I told him, I said, well, you can do it, I don't care, but you'll never be done as long as you draw my house. I mean, until you do that, you're never finished. And we had just moved into the home we're into now, and I thought that was a pretty good hint. And I figured that next Christmas that picture was coming, and it didn't until about 6 years later. And in fact, the very last picture that he ever drew was my house, the very last one. But we figured up, over his 33 years, he put a little over 400 pictures on the market as limited edition prints.
Right.
That in itself is a lot. But then you think that commissioned artwork, these are pieces that one of a kind, that he was commissioned by somebody to draw a house, a church, a business, something special. You just did one and that's it. Over 700.
Right.
So in 33 years, over 1,100 drawings, which is an average of one every 11 days. But you look at it in that context and you realize he was a machine. When it came to putting out a new picture every 11 days for 33 years, that's just, it's hard to kind of believe that.
And he was a perfectionist.
Yes.
Very much so. I have seen him with framing, frame something and he saw something that didn't look right. I'd look at it and it would look fine to me. And he would take it back out and do it again. And I think that's why we kept our business.
I think so. And I remember one time saying to him about his artwork, "You're too cheap." Mm-hmm. And I always believed that. Dad never charged for his artwork or his framing what people in Lexington would get. And I remember him looking at me and saying, "You know what? I'm satisfied. I feel like it's fair, and it has raised you two boys." And as far as I'm concerned, that's what it's going to be. And you can't ask for any more than that. But that was his reasoning. He did it, I guess the best way to put it, he did it to make a living, and he did it to raise a family. He wasn't in it to be rich.
No.
The main reason he did it, though, was because it was what he loved.
That's right.
And the thing about him was, I think he knew he was talented, but to him, this was just something I like to do that happens to pay the bills. He was pretty humble about it.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. He always said anybody can draw. He didn't think what he did was any more special than what anybody else did.
But it was.
But it was to us.
And it was to us, and it is to a lot of people in this community that remember his work and bought his artwork, if he ever said it. High point in his career. Did he ever tell you if there was a high point?
I think one of the things, he did the bicentennial, and I think that really meant a lot to him because it hangs in a lot of government offices.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about state government offices and so forth. And I think that was one of his high points in his life.
Of course, and people don't realize Dad had artwork all over the world.
Yes.
It wasn't just here in Jessamine County.
And not even in the United States.
All over the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was overseas. There was many places.
He did a commission work for a lady in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
We never met her. She had seen his work somewhere, and she had this lake house she wanted drawn, and she sent him a picture of it, and he drew it. Sent it back to her. She sent the money, and we never saw it.
Yeah, his drawings are in a lot of places, and a lot of people enjoyed them throughout the years. But you know, the thing that's weird about all this, and I think I can say this on behalf of you too, while we both recognized his talent, to us, he was just a husband and a dad.
He was my husband. He was my soulmate. And that's what he wanted. That was probably the most important thing to him in his life, that he was a dad and a husband.
Dad has been gone now since 2007. And Mom and I are excited that his artwork is still remembered by a lot of people in this community. And as we said, not only this community, but around the state, around the country, and around the world. There will be a day when people won't remember Howard Fain, but his art will live on for a long, long time. And we just hope that people that bought that will continue to enjoy it for years to come. And hopefully it brings back some good memories. And I want to leave this program on this note. I think one of the biggest compliments that I ever heard on him is after he died, a friend of mine who lives in Florida, who's a minister, he contacted me on Facebook and reminded me that Dad had drawn a picture of his home place. And Randy said to me, he said, "I have all kinds of people come in my home, and they'll walk right past that picture, and even if they look at it, it means nothing to them." He said, "But when I look at it, it takes me home." And I think that's probably one of the best compliments that Dad ever got, was the fact that he was able to take a pencil and a paper and some paint and make memories for people.
Right.
And I think that's what he wanted to accomplish, and he did. Any last words?
Thank you for having me.
Well, I want to thank Mom for taking time to sit down with me to talk about Dad. You know, we could have talked for hours on this program about things that we remember about him and his artwork and just the way he was. And I think the thing that I hope everyone does understand is, yeah, he was a talented man. He drew a lot of pictures. He created a lot of memories. But to me, he was just Dad. And that's the thing I miss about him most. It's not the artwork. It's not the pictures he drew. It's just him and the way he treated me as his son.
I appreciate you joining me on All Things Jessamine and hope you'll do so again next Saturday at 11 o'clock. Don't forget, I'm here every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. on Jess FM 105.9. And to all of our fathers, happy Father's Day.
It's just an ordinary day, then the doorbell makes it extraordinary with a delivery from Nicholasville Florist and Gifts. I'm Bobby.
And I'm Kelly. All our flowers, plants, and gifts are delivered on time and as beautiful as we'd want for ourselves.
Our flowers are fresh daily and arranged when you order. You can call or visit our website.
But please come in. You can see our selection of silks and decorations
and gifts for the person who has everything at 206 South Main Street, Nicholasville. Martha's Vineyard, Nicholasville. Florist and Gifts.
Since 1951, we've been making ordinary days
extraordinary.